This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. This is Andy Lekunene and a half man, half amazing, cool as ice, and twice as nice. It's Wednesday again, in time for the Curve Corner. I'm with the ever so lovely Noluthando Nkosi.
Thank you very much. Dubbed as Thick God by the team.
Yep, definitely the Thick God.
I'm still deciding whether or not I'm taking it.
It's a great title.
Yeah.
Hey? It's a great title. How was your weekend?
It was good, thank you. How was yours?
That was fantastic. Yeah. Did you happen to catch Black Panther?
I did. I had so much FOMO.
Yep.
I couldn't just let social media. Like, social media got the better of me.
Yeah, this weekend.
Yeah.
This is like, oh, no, I'm going to wait a week till I watch it.
Hell. Yeah. I was like, I want to look. I get the novelty of going to the cinema.
Sure.
But I love watching movies from the comfort of my own home.
Yeah.
I was going to wait for it to get to a box office or at least,
Pirate Bay.
But yeah, see, the FOMO killed me, hey?
Yeah, so what do you think? Was it a good movie?
I think in terms of, as far as Marvel films go, it was a Marvel film.
Okay.
So beautifully shot.
Yeah.
Beautifully shot.
Yeah.
Stan Lee making an appearance.
Obviously.
You know. Obviously. It ticked all the boxes of a good Marvel film.
Yeah.
The humor was amazing.
Yeah. I noticed they're putting in a lot of humor now in
The so Marvel clearly movies. Whoever they've got writing their scripts
is a funny person. Doing the thing.
Yeah. Hey? And it's really quite cool.
And the movie versus your expectations? What did you expect? It's been hyped up for the past year, you know, and as something that is the most pivotal black focused movie of this decade.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
The hype didn't get to me.
Okay.
Throughout the year.
Yeah.
It literally just, the FOMO hit me as it premiered on Friday.
Okay.
I was chuffed that, you know, there's going to be yet another, because let's not get it twisted. Black Panther is not the first black hero to hit cinema.
Shout out to Hancock.
Yeah. Shout out to Hancock. Shout out to
Green Lantern.
The Green Lantern.
Yep.
So we've seen black superheroes, you know.
Yeah.
So let's not make it as though this is the first ever. This is the first black Marvel
superhero. Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
No, Simpiwe is shaking his head. School me, Sims. School me, please.
There was Blade.
Blade!
Yeah. Isn't Gunje the guy with the haircut?
The vampire guy, Wesley Snipes.
What did he do?
Batman's not a hero.
Was it?
Hey, what? So Blade was the vampire guy, and he was like, oh no, I'm going to save the world from vampires.
I remember that. And he was all black with the haircut.
I wasn't aware that he was a Marvel character.
It's a Marvel character.
Okay.
No way.
Okay.
Look at that.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'd like people to get the facts right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, as far as Marvel goes, I think Marvel did really well. Mm. I mean, and if you're a Marvel fan, which I am only since the beginning of last year or so.
Yeah.
This is when I started catching up with my Marvel.
Sure. Comics.
Yeah. And, They built the story really well. I mean, from the end of Avengers, that's when we were introduced to Ujon Kane, who plays Black Panther's...
King T'Chani.
Who is the Black Panther's father.
Dad, yeah.
So the build-up was great. It fits in very well with the storyline. Yeah.
I think the biggest thing of this movie and why I think it went so viral amongst black people is because Blade was a black superhero, but he was American. You know, Green Lantern is American. And they never actually get the shine that they're supposed to get.
Okay.
I mean, Black Panther had all the sponsors on. I mean, it had the likes of Pepsi punting it everywhere.
Yeah.
You've got Black Panther cups. You've got Black Panther branded Pepsi cans and whatever.
Yeah.
And they went all out.
The marketing was great.
Yeah, they went all out on this one. And for the fact that it's a full-on African, well, African inverted commas show, I think this is why it resonated with the diaspora of black folk all around the world.
I mean, what I absolutely loved about the film, even though in certain parts, certain languages were slightly butchered,
I mean, it's close, not slightly. It was butchered. I mean, the only one who did really well there was Lupita.
Lupita, yeah, yeah, she
tried. She worked it out.
But you know what pisses me off the most is that when you work on a film, you've got over a year really perfect it, you know?
Sure.
And when these actors and actresses go out into other films and... you know, and learn French, or learn any other language, they get it right, you know.
Yeah, but you must understand that they've got French, they're hearing French almost all their lives. The first time I heard French, I was like a little kid. I've been hearing French, so I've been playing around with the accent since I was a kid.
I get that, Andy.
Do you understand? And I've never heard, if I'm living in America, I've never heard it's closer ever in my life, you know.
Ngubani.
Yeah, look.
Say that at least. No. Say that for a year and tell me you won't get it right.
Yeah. Ngubon. Listen, okay? It's Wakanda here. Hey?
But I mean, over and above that, shout out to Marvel. I think it was absolutely amazing as a Marvel film, like I'm saying.
So did it achieve the goal?
What was the goal?
Well, amongst the social media and all the black rhetoric around this film is that...
What were people hoping for?
People were hoping that this is the film to change the narrative of how we see black people in mainstream media.
No.
Did it not achieve that for you?
No.
So you seeing strong black female characters like the army, the Wakandan army.
That was amazing. That was absolutely
amazing.
Does
that not do anything for...
No, absolutely it does. But I think they were very careful also in how they did everything.
Yeah.
To always dial it back to the narrative of how they show black people in every other film, you know.
Okay.
You're powerful until this point.
Okay.
You are, there's always a point that you get to. And I mean, it was very subtly done, and maybe I was reading too much into the movie.
Perhaps.
But for me, it didn't change my life.
Okay. But it's refreshing.
It was very refreshing.
I think it's done a really great job. I kind of feel like it's one of those things that tells me it's okay to dream.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
We're doing a series on dream chases, and this movie, after seeing it, I said, it's okay to dream. Yeah. Akani, John Kani's boy, he's in the movie.
Atando.
What's his name?
Atando Kani.
That's the guy that was married to Temi Samdoda, right?
Yes.
That dude is in the movie as well.
Yes.
You know, it
he's
gives
playing,
me...
He's playing Mr. Kani's younger self.
Younger self, yeah. What's this? This other lady from Rhythm City.
Mm.
She's on the show as well, right? And then there's this other old granny. I'm not sure if she's South African. She looks South African. She looked like my grandmama.
The one who hardly really said anything?
Yeah, she didn't really say anything, you know. But you know, I felt like she's... You know, South African, and then
does she look
you've
like
got
your people?
You've got the soundtrack with Yos Java.
Yes.
Who else is on there?
Saudi
was on there.
That's it. Yeah.
South Africa. Babes Wotumo was on there.
Yeah.
So for me, the entire movie, especially being a South African boy, says to me, your dreams are valid.
That's it.
Go out and get them. You know, because these guys are on a major studio film. It's not
huge. A blockbuster.
This is not Ekasi Stories, guys.
Yeah.
No,
and
please,
it's not one of those
it's not
movies
an indie
that
film.
Made it to Cannes.
Yeah, it's not
that
a Cannes
no
film that
it's
gets
not...
aired in Canada.
Yeah.
After they buy it at Cannes Film Festival and they go, oh no, this is fantastic. It represents Africa and whatever. This is a proper studio. Did you see over the weekend they made something like $363 million?
They broke all records.
All of the records.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Firstly, it's like this is the buying power of black people
when
we do finally unite over whatever reason that we're uniting over.
Yeah.
This is our buying power. We got together over a weekend and we made Marvel $363 million.
Yeah.
Can we do that for Tyler Perry? Can we go? Actually, Tyler Perry, you need to let go of Madea, because I saw that Madea is going to Wakanda. That's the next movie. Madea goes to Wakanda. But on a grander scale, I think the objective of trying to illustrate to black youth that it is possible.
Yeah.
What was achieved.
Definitely.
The technology that they had in Wakanda had never been seen anywhere in the world. And this is not really far-fetched.
No, no, no. It speaks to... You look at all the technology that's
come from this continent.
And the wealth that comes from this continent.
Precisely. Yeah. The education. I mean, first university Definitely. In the world was from this continent.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, mathematics is from this continent.
Medicine.
Medicine is from this continent. Mm. You know, so why isn't technology from this continent? I mean, how do they think the pyramids were built?
Yeah.
By aliens. It was built.
People have their theories.
it was built on this continent, and I think for the first time in history, it's well represented in Definitely. A way that black people are not slaves.
We're not the dark continent.
Yeah, we're not slaves. We're not thieves. We're not murderers. We're not rapists. We're not, because that's the movie. I mean, you know, we're not driving Miss Daisy.
Mm.
You know, and granted, they'll never win Oscars from this movie, because it's a Marvel flick. Who wins Oscars from a Marvel flick?
Let's break another record. Let's see.
Not even white people win Oscars from Marvel movies. Do you know what I mean? But it's really done great. You know, there's another industry though that I think is very important when it comes to speaking to black youth about it. The one of innovation. I'm guessing we don't innovate a lot because we're always thinking practically. What do you think? We're always thinking about, oh no, I just need to get something to get a job quickly.
It goes back to what we constantly touch on, is that people are forgetting that you need to learn how to think.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time we are taught this is the solution and this is how you get to it.
Sure.
So you never have a thought process.
Sure, you know, sure.
Where it's like...
You've always got the answer in front of you.
You've always got the answer in front of you.
Yeah.
So we need to be taught how to think. The moment we remember that we need to be taught how to think, innovation will return in a huge way, yeah. You know. And this is why, I mean, talking about dream chasers, it's so... You know, this morning as I was thinking about who I consider a dream chaser.
Yeah.
And to me, a dream chaser is someone who's doing something really out of the norm.
Okay.
But really it's not. It's someone who's going back to the basics and seeing the simplest of things and going, this is where we should be, you
yes,
know.
Yes.
But because we are forgetting what those basics are, because we are forgetting that we are not thinking, that's where our problem lies. Innovation is not dead.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think innovation is dead. We just don't think.
Okay, because of the school system and how we are taught how to do things.
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in your mind, can you think of a dream chaser? And like in your mind, right now, top of your dome, dream chaser, go. You're on.
You're the pressure though.
Go, you're on. Hey, No, but someone in the public space
that everyone can go, ah.
Okay, or maybe just not in this room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, why is this so hard? Smooth Leope is a good one.
He's a
brilliant one.
He's a great example.
Because, you know, he's one of the guys who says, why not me?
Sure.
And that's what makes you a dream chaser.
Sure.
Because... even though something exists, it may not exist for your people. It
sure.
may not exist for the sure. people you grew up with or whatever sure. the case sure. is. So, and for you to go, hi, man, this could be me.
Yep.
And I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
That's monumental.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Very monumental.
So I think Kuswu is definitely a dream chaser.
Okay. I think Kenya, the country, is a dream chaser.
As a whole. Yeah.
Yeah, for realsies, I think they're doing really great things. For one, they've got their own vehicles. They manufacture their own vehicles.
Them and Ghana, ne?
Yeah.
Ghana started, yeah.
Maybe I'm getting my countries mixed up.
Maybe.
Either one of the two.
Yeah.
Ghana or Kenya. But in any case, I love Kenya. Shout out to Nairobi, you know, and shout out to Accra. You know, but one of these countries have... their own vehicles, from SUVs to sedans to whatever, and they're banding together to create this industry where they are not importing like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like South Africa mainly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of feel like everywhere outside of this continent, people have their own cars.
Yeah.
And when you're driving another car, they're like, oh, you're going foreign. Oh, my God.
And let's not get it twisted, guys. We know there's cars that are made in South Africa.
Yeah.
But they are not.
But they're foreign cars.
They're foreign cars.
Mercedes-Benz is assembled in East London.
Yeah. But it's a German
make. Car.
Yeah.
Honda as well, Japanese car. There's a factory in East London.
VW, Toyota.
VW's in Uetenaig.
Yeah.
German.
Are they all in the Eastern Cape?
Yeah, it's in Uetenaig. Not all of them.
Most majority.
Nissan is here in Roslyn in Pretoria. What else? I can't think of any other cars.
Yeah, you've named a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. But point is, you know, I've been told that there has been a South African car that was built here,
really,
like really back in the day. Like,
what happened to it?
I have no clue. I think it just died off, apartheid or whatever. Hey? Yeah, you know, But I would have loved to see something like that.
That would have been. Do you remember what the name was?
No, I can't remember. But just, I mean, Uncle
Google is right here. I will search.
You know, he can ask Uncle Google. But I think the important takeaway here is there's a lot of culture in where you're from.
Yes.
And there's a lot of ability in who you are.
Yeah.
And provided the right stimulation, you can attain whatever it is.
That's it.
I mean, I've seen a lot of artists in this country talk about, oh, I'm big. Nigga, you ain't never been on a Marvel film. Babes Odumo has. She's my dream chaser of the week.
Nah, yeah.
Yeah, for realsies. I mean, she did Wololo and everybody was like, ah, this girl is a one-hit wonder. She's only going to do Wololo here in Mampincha.
And yeah, see, they hated on her.
And then it's over. Yeah. But where is she now?
On Black Panther.
I'm telling you, for realsies, right? It's like, nobody saw this coming. Not even Casper is on Marvel film. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I'll tell you something. Yeah.
He's doing the 2018 FIFA World Cup soundtrack.
Yeah, with Jason Derulo. Yeah.
That is dope.
Which is major.
That is dope.
Which is major. And
look, we can't talk Dream Chasers without even mentioning Casper. I think, you know.
Yeah. With the whole fill up movement.
Yeah. Look, there's been quite a few hip hop artists in the game, and not to hate on any one of them, but I mean, he is breaking stereotypes. He's breaking molds. He's breaking, you know, like he is seeing things that people only speak about and maybe not fulfill.
Hard.
You know, and he's like, I'm gonna do it, and I don't care who says what. You
know, he reminds me of Diddy. I get a serious Diddy vibe from him that says, I don't care who says what.
Nobody's
standing in my way.
And this is what I want, and I'm going to go for it.
Precisely.
Because it's also not just fans that hate on him. It's the industry.
Yeah, it's the industry.
The industry hates on him.
And this is, I mean, we're really small as a country. And if I promote your artwork, my artwork is being promoted at the same time. Mm. So, I don't think there's space in this small country of ours to actually hate on each other.
Definitely.
I think if I'm Babes Odumo and Casper Nyovest is like, yo, I'm doing Philip Moses Mabhida, which he's doing this year. I stand under correction. But is he doing? Yeah.
Do you know how many seats are in Moses Mabhida?
I don't know. A lot. but, you know, he's doing that and I'm Babes. I'm going to tell all my fans to, yo, go out there and support. I may not be performing, but definitely go out there and check it out, because everybody needs the support in this country so that we can grow on the continent and stop actually just selling to South African people alone.
Yeah, but I mean, you see, for me, that's also what makes a dream chaser for me, someone who thinks internationally.
Yeah.
Because, guys, technology has just brought us too far.
Sure.
Gone are the days where we want to just imitate America because we see them and they don't see us.
Sure.
America sees us.
Yes, definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
And I mentioned America because that's what we compare everything to, right? It's that's the
standard. Yeah,
the standard. Yeah, exactly. Let's not fool ourselves. When it comes to the entertainment world,
Either you're American or you're Chinese, right?
Yeah.
Because the Chinese are doing major numbers. They're doing bigger numbers than the United States. It's just that the country that they live in, you know, doesn't really have Uncle Google. You know,
they got their own Google.
Yeah, they got their own Google. You know,
that touches nowhere else.
Yeah, it's like these Eastern European countries. There's this search engine in Russia called Yandex that That's their thing. That's, they Yandex things. They don't Google things.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
That's right? Amazing.
Yeah, but it's also like censored stuff, you know, so you can't...
Oh, you can't search for certain things.
Yeah, no. There's porn. Oh, listen, it's Russia, okay? Yeah. You can buy a bride in Russia.
Truth.
You know, so you can definitely get some porn.
Mm.
Some really weird stuff. I saw a vajankle last week.
Bruh.
So, yeah, it's a vagina on an ankle. Okay, Greg showed us the vajankle last week, which I thought was freaking ridiculous. People want to put their dicks inside of an ankle.
Look, it takes care of two fetishes, right? People with you guys always talk about feet on the show, so
yeah, but
hey, I don't want to
look.
Wanna.
Feet are important, but I don't want to put my dick in a foot, you know. But in any case, I think we're straight.
But I mean, that's someone smart right there who saw an opportunity and went, "Wait a minute!"
You know those things from yourself.
I know
sell.
Exactly what that's to build.
That's a dream chaser, right?
That's
there.
That's a dream chaser.
He's like, I want to build an ankle with a vag in it.
Because, I mean, can you imagine, in the world that we live in today, can you imagine how hard it is to come up with a new invention? Because you wake up in the 21st century and you're like, everything exists.
Yeah.
Well, at least it feels like it, you know, until the next thing comes and you're like, oh my goodness, why didn't I think of that? But until then, you think, you assume that everything exists.
Yeah.
So you have to... Exactly what I was saying earlier on, you have to think. And not only do you have to think, you have to really take it out of the box. And you really have to then go, what are people liking? If people like feet and if people like sex, I'm going to put those two together.
But, you know? but here's the thing, right? I don't think you necessarily have to invent new things. I just think you can take the things that already exist
improve
and just make
them
better.
Okay.
Take Apple, for instance. Mm-hmm. Steve Jobs didn't create anything
new. Of course not. Yeah.
Right? Nothing. Yeah. But he made it freaking cool.
He created a
brand. So he took a phone, because we were all using phones, and he said, how can I make this thing sexier and just cooler?
Yeah.
I'm going to get the buttons off of this damn phone and make a touchscreen thingamabob.
Mm.
Nothing new.
Yeah.
Right, touchscreens already existed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, all he did was just superimpose the freaking thing,
and he made it sexy.
Yeah, and he made it
super cool. Like he spoke more to the
cool factor,
the aesthetic of his brand than the practicality of
it. Sure, and then he made it expensive.
But that's
which always works.
That's always works.
Hey?
It wasn't him. No. Who was it? Were you there when Nassim Pew?
I'm just saying, like, as a creative,
yeah.
You're not the person that makes things expensive.
Yeah, but if you
like someone behind you,
I guess,
sell it for 100 instead of 10.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like, but he paid the person to make the decision, so it was him.
I mean, okay. He pays the bills, fam.
Look, fam.
Yeah,
I don't know. People employ smarter people.
Yeah, that's it. That's
you know what I mean?
That's it. You have to employ people that are smarter than you.
Yeah, otherwise, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
But Steve Jobs is a great example of
a dream chaser.
He's a great dream chaser.
And you know, sorry to cut you off there, but
I don't really care about Wozniak.
What I absolutely love about Steve Jobs is that he had someone, like you're saying, which it was not his idea, but he had someone who was sitting on something great, who did not have the guts to take it as far as his product could go.
Sure.
And he sat there and he looked at him and he was like,
"My nigga, you don't know.
You don't know what
you got."
And that's what makes you a dream chaser, is that you see the bigger
picture.
Vision. You have the vision, right? Yeah. Because he sat down and he sees this guy and he's like, "Yeah, Mara and Nana, you are smart."
Yeah.
And what did he do? He employed him and took his idea.
Yeah, hard.
And he went with it. Mark Zuckerberg,
same thing.
Jack Ma. I mean,
Mark Zuckerberg comes from a rich family. Jack Ma is the guy that created Alibaba.com. Now, that
Alibaba.com, the online store that has no store.
It's the biggest store in the freaking world.
Don't squint at us. You don't know what Alibaba.com is?
Well,
Alibaba.com became before eBay.
Yeah.
And
came before every... Listen.
What's in South Africa right
take
now?
Take a lot.
Takealot.com.
All of those things are based off of Alibaba.
If
you're talking Chinese billionaires...
You're talking Jack Ma first.
Jack Ma is number one.
Yes.
Right, comes from rural China, and I don't know if you guys know what rural China is, but there's no place in this country which is as rural as rural China.
So that's weird for me, right?
You know, and
because I mean,
and he starts.
You think you know rural, man?
Yeah. No, you don't know rural. Rural China is brutal, you know. But listen to this. This guy comes from rural China and starts an internet-based business and becomes a billionaire. Right? You're living in a country, as much as we don't have internet everywhere,
yes,
we're better than rural China. Do you know what I mean? And you're crying and going, oh, no, the government's not doing much for us.
Yeah.
Listen, the government doesn't do anything for people in China.
Yeah.
Okay? Except,
you got to make. Yeah, you got to think of something and make it.
You know, communism is a real thing out there, you know? But with all of that, they still become one of the biggest economies of well, I get the numbers again, you know, but still, people there are resourceful.
Yeah.
We need to start using the resources that we have. Yeah, and start learning how to think. I think this is the biggest thing that we need to do, is learn how to think as a people, as an individual, you know, and just try and get that out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also a dream chaser.
Oh, let's listen to you.
You know, I'm cool as ice and twice as nice. Mm,
never had a bad day in my damn life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
it's so scary that I know that thing off by heart now.
That's my thing.
Anyway, so yeah, what makes Sandy Lekunene a dream chaser?
Look, because you know, I don't really care about barriers.
Okay.
Barriers is always going to be there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. And whatever's worth having is worth fighting for.
Yeah.
You know, and if it comes easy. If it comes easy, it's a bunch of nonsense.
Okay. I don't know. I think even with the things that come easy, just because they came easy, I don't know, Sims, what do you think? I think even though things come easy, it's up to you to make them work. Do you know what I mean? True. Just because you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, you still need to make things work and make a name for yourself.
But at the same time, I think it's like solving problems in a way. So you need to establish problems in order for you. So we talk about dream chasers and we talk about all these guys, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
And these people have solved basic problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So if you think about the iPhone, it's like, why would I want a typewriter, a computer? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why would I want five devices when I can have this?
All of these devices in one.
You know what I'm saying? And make it look cool.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Problem solved. That's it. Let's bulky. Yeah,
so convenience.
Facebook.
But no, listen. My the point I'm trying to make is what Andile said.
But I'm trying to go back to like
why
you being a dream chaser and you like then establishing yourself as a dream chaser and as like somebody who's, you know, like, I don't have the term for it, sorry, English is not my first language, but it's just those basic things of saying, I'm gonna solve this problem, right, and I'm gonna make it happen this way.
Yes.
I don't care whether people like it, that, because in your head, that's not what you know what I mean, it's a problem for yourself.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So for example, here, no radio training. Hey, I want to speak to my people in this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you find a way of doing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
It's just that.
I think the biggest problem that most dream chasers find is that they're chasing
other people's dreams.
Other people's dreams, and they're chasing the wrong thing. Like you're saying, find a problem and create a solution.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And a lot of people, for instance, entrepreneurs, there's this huge craze about entrepreneurs in this country right now. Oh, I'm an entrepreneur. But you don't really know what the hell that is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
What is an entrepreneur, Andy?
It's a person who solves problems.
Okay.
That's what an entrepreneur is. Mm-hmm. Facts. You know? And entrepreneurs generally aren't chasing money.
Mm-hmm.
They found a problem. And they're just fixing it.
And all they want to do is fix it. And then the money comes
afterwards, you know? And it's a lot of money that comes afterwards. Yeah. You know what I mean? But if you go, I want to be
an entrepreneur
because entrepreneurs make money.
You're in the wrong field.
You're definitely in the wrong field.
Okay.
You know, because you're going to chase everything that comes. You're going to want to take it. Zolani's going to come next week and go, yo, bro. You know, so I'm cleaning sheets for the hospital, and you're going to think, oh, this guy's making so much money washing sheets for the hospital. I'm going to register a sheets washing company.
Or a laundromat.
You register a sheets washing company.
Yeah.
and you go into that thing and you freaking hate it.
Yeah.
It lasts about 3 months. You don't get even one client, and you've advertised, you've done, you've gone to the seminars.
You spent your life savings.
You've done everything. You've bought the chemicals and you've done everything. But listen, nothing's popping.
Yeah.
You know, then you're going to jump onto the next thing. Oh, no, now I've got an IT business. Next thing, you're freaking buying cables and whatever, and you suck at it again. You know what I mean? And so whatever opportunity that smells like is lucrative, yeah, you're going to jump on it.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a vision for yourself.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're trying to do. You don't know what you're trying to achieve. You don't know who you're trying to talk to. So you go with anything. Like a fart in the wind. You just go wherever the wind is going. Do you know what I mean? So I think the first objective of anyone who's trying to be an entrepreneur and chase their dreams is to, one, definitely go, listen, this is what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
This on the grander scheme of things, without the money. Fuck the money. Because people are making money from basketballs, okay? You know? Listen, one of the biggest companies in China is a door maker. Door.
Yes.
You understand?
What you walk through.
I know a guy in this country who makes about 15 million rand a year selling beads.
Beads, like what beads. I have in my hair right now?
This, yeah, like that. But those are even big. You know the Ndebele bead, whatever? He sells those things in bulk.
No way.
That's all he does. He makes 15 bars a year.
Because we forget that you have to buy those things, right? Guys, like jewelry zippers, doesn't just come out.
Zippers.
Of nowhere.
You can sell zippers and make money.
Yeah.
But those people all had visions.
Yeah.
They all had visions. Guys, check it out. I think we've got a
delivery. Nicky D's thing.
Just turn the card around. It's upside down. Oh, dear Andile Kunene and Nolitando Nkosi and team, we wanted to share a little moment of loving with you.
Oh, that is so sweet. Is that for Valentine's Day? Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
It's a great Valentine's month. Hey, fantastic. I think they brought food and drinks for the entire team.
Oh, that's so cool.
That is absolutely fantastic.
Gee, Love Month needs to last forever and a day.
And there's ice cream and...
A Sunday early in the morning.
I just want to say one thing, right? I'm loving it.
Yeah. thank you so much.
Yeah.
Gee.
Hey, dream chasing.
Just when you thought Valentine's Day was over.
Yeah, thanks, guys. So now I'm hungry. Shout out to McDonald's for hooking a brother up. But what's this? Define your purpose.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And your purpose is, you know, for lack of a better description, you know, but I'm going to try and simplify it as much as I can. This is how I simplified it for myself.
Yeah.
My purpose is whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
Doing it without getting paid for it, would I still do it? So if I'm freaking fixing computers and I'm not getting paid for it, do I still want to do it? Hell no. If I'm washing cars and I don't get paid for it, would I still? Hell no.
Okay.
You know, I've heard of, there's this guy that went to high school with my sister. Can't remember his name right now, but his dream in high school, and this is a guy born in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
Whole life he goes to multiracial school and whatever, and he's speaking English and whatever. So he's not from our cloth, you know. He's a Lonnie boy, you know. But his thing was, I want to be a taxi driver.
No ways.
A taxi driver.
Not a taxi owner.
No, a taxi driver. I've never thought of being a taxi driver
in my life
as a career option.
Nah, dog.
Ever.
I thought it
he finished matric and
in
passed
the pipe,
and
in,
everything.
While we're working on
taxi driver.
Mm.
Do you know what he is now? He's a taxi owner.
Of course.
Got like 8 taxis or something.
But I mean, that's someone
each
who had
giving him 400 rand a day, every single day. Come on.
How many
on,
taxis
B?
Does he have?
8. So that's 3,200 rand a day that he's making.
Mm-hmm.
On average. He wanted to be a taxi driver.
Shout out to that nigga.
That guy knew his purpose, and he wasn't getting swayed by the popularity of, oh no, I'm going to be a chartered accountant, or I'm going to be whatever. He makes more than chartered accountants.
Facts.
Do you know what I mean?
Facts.
You know, but we're afraid to go into these things for ourselves because I'm gonna get judged.
Hey,
maybe I want to watch Cars, bro. If I take one of my homies and we go to North Taxi Rank, right?
Yeah.
And we wash 10 taxis for $50 a day.
Yeah.
We're making $500 a day.
$50 a taxi, yeah.
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 500 rand a day. What do I need? Two baguettes, some scroplops, some...
Shemi
cloth.
Some liquid soap.
Liquid soap.
And you're good.
I'm good. Low overheads.
Oh, let's not forget the polish.
Yeah, polish, you know. But
yeah, but you've got no office.
Like, no office. I'm outside, you know. I'm not, you know, in a cubicle earning 4,000 rands at whatever call center, working too damn long for too little money.
But do you think that is also because there's certain jobs we look down upon? Like, for instance, the taxi driver thing.
Yeah.
The reason we have not aspired to be taxi drivers is because we think they are whack, and because we think they are lawbreakers, and because we think they are, do you know what I mean? Like, you look down on them and you think, "Ay man, I'm going to be a taxi driver." Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And same goes with the guys that you just spoke about.
Yeah.
Who do the washing of the taxis. I mean, I see those guys. I've used a taxi in my life.
Of course.
I was on taxis throughout my school career. And hey, we've got a guest in studio.
Yeah.
And just before we get to Ubalisa, the thing is, you look at certain jobs and you think, "Hi man, I'm not going to be that guy that everyone, when they get off the taxi, sees and they washing the taxi. I don't want to be that guy, you know?" And that's I think that's where we go wrong. Because
you think it's embarrassing.
Because you think it's embarrassing. Yeah, it's like, the end of the day, you haven't done the math to say, "And like, how much is that guy making?
How many
taxis are coming through this rank
that
he is washing on a daily?"
Yeah. So on the dream chasers.
Yay! Point,
we've got a special guest in studio today. A young black female pilot.
That's not something you hear every day.
No, certainly not. I mean, it's what is it now? We're 24 years into Nkululeko.
Yeah, Nkululeko.
Nkululeko. Yeah. And we're still, you know, struggling to see black pilots. We've got Palisa Khoza in studio. Amazing young black woman, black excellence. Girl power.
Personified black excellence.
Melanin popping.
Yeah, no.
That shea butter.
That shea butter, that coconut oil.
Look, we've been talking dream chasers all morning. And if this is not chasing a dream, I don't know what it is.
Definitely. Tell us, Palisa, thank you for coming, number one.
You're very welcome.
You look great in uniform.
Thank you so much.
I didn't know I had a thing for chicks in uniform. But
yeah, we're going to post a picture on Twitter to show you guys the girl in uniform.
Hey?
Yeah.
Aviation. I mean, you grew up in Johannesburg, right?
Yes,
the south of Johannesburg. And you went to, what's the school? Rosettenville Primary, and then on to Queens High. Am I correct?
Or, yes.
Yeah. Okay. 100% I'm just checking.
No mistakes.
You know, sometimes Google lies.
No, yeah. You're 100%
What made you go into a field that is dominated by white males?
Mm.
That even black males are struggling to get into, and I'm sure it's not a easy, nor cheap. No, field to get into.
Definitely not.
Hey?
For me, when I was first realized what aviation was, I think I was about between five and seven, and I had no idea there was a male dominated industry. I had no idea that it was a white male dominated industry.
Yeah.
For me, it was just a case where I was determined to be the first black female pilot in South Africa. Later on, I discovered you're not the first one.
Obviously,
there were people before me. I wasn't the first one born to interested in aviation. For me, it was literally just something that I had a burning desire to understand. And more than anything, it was trying to understand how something so big could float in the sky. More than anything, it was just the curiosity behind the science behind it, more than the fact that I understood that I wanted to be a pilot.
Okay.
Obviously, later on, I discovered actually this is something I really do want to do. And when I started pursuing it and started looking into it, I realized there and then that actually we're a minority in this industry. We don't exist. And even though there are more of us popping up, the issues are finances, like you mentioned, that most of the time, it's a very expensive industry, extremely expensive. When I first really got into it, I think I was about in grade 8 or 9, and I discovered that I'd need about $1 million just basic.
Sorry? Jeepers, excuse me?
Well, $1 million.
$1 million basic to be South able African to get bronze. Into. Yes.
Basic.
To be able to get into the industry. And probably I've looking at the whole thing as a whole, that's not even a minimum. You continue to spend, even once you've acquired the license, you continue to try and pursue maintaining your medical certificate, maintaining, trying to get the hours as well, because it's not just about getting the license. Afterwards, you're expected to have about 1,500 hours in order to get into an airline like South African Airways.
Wow.
So
you need to fly 1,500 hours in the air.
Yes.
In order to qualify as a commercial pilot.
You qualify as a commercial pilot with approximately 250 hours. Between 200 and 250 hours, you get the license. However, between there and actually getting into a reputable airline as well, I mean, most of the time they look for experience.
Okay,
so
like
in any other industry with aviation, they expect you to have experience. However, with aviation, the challenge is that nobody wants to put you in their aircraft unless you have the hours.
The hours.
Exactly.
Yeah. And how do you get the hours without getting on a plane?
Precisely. Now, that's where the challenge comes in negative.
I'm not understanding where you got the hours from.
If I needed to drive a certain amount of hours, I need to buy a car.
Yeah, exactly.
Precisely. Yeah. So what I've chosen to do, like most of us in the aviation industry, not just Africans, is that I've chosen to go into the route where we do instruction. So what you do is you go through the process, you get your commercial pilot's license. Mm-hmm. Once you have your commercial pilot's license, you upgrade onto a further license, which is called an instructor's rating.
Okay.
Basically, once you have your instructor's rating, what you do is to find a flight school in and around Johannesburg or anywhere in South Africa, anywhere in the world, actually, where they'd be willing to employ you as an instructor. So what I'm doing currently is teaching other people how to fly.
Okay.
Amazing.
So that's basically what instruction is, which is it's beautiful because then I get to impart my challenges and my struggles into other people, and I get to mold and groom people without doing it in a direct fashion. It's mostly indirect, where I'm actually trying to groom as many younger people, Africans, into the industry and trying to get them molded into the design so that they don't go through all the challenges that I've been through. Obviously, it's a large industry and I'm not going to be able to change everything overnight on my own. But through instruction, I'm hoping that I could at least...
Hey, it takes one. It takes one.
Indeed.
One, reach one.
That's it.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
Now, but you didn't answer my plane question.
I do not have my own plane.
Oh.
Negative.
I just have to make sure because...
Even speak like a pilot in the movie.
Yes, negative, Captain. Yeah.
So, Alpha Charlie Bravo. Tell us how did you manage to then fund your license, acquiring the license? Do you have to go to university? Did you have to go to like VITS? Do they teach aviation at VITS or something?
No.
Hey, where do you go? Where do they teach it?
Basically, what you have to do is to find a flight school.
Okay.
Generally, you find flight schools in smaller airports, for example, Lanseria, Grand Central in Midrand, or Rand Airport in Johannesburg.
Okay.
So for me, I was fortunate enough to be sponsored by South African Airways, the last group of cadets that was sponsoring the aviation training.
Okay.
So I started my training in 2014 and I went via SAA to Port Alfred, which is the biggest flight school on the continent.
Really?
Not trying to advertise.
Nice.
Biggest flight school.
It's just fact.
Port Alfred is in the Eastern Cape.
In the Eastern Cape, that's correct. It's a small town between East London and Port Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I started my training there and unfortunately, due to various circumstances,
SAA squandering
out
the money.
Yes.
that's the unfortunate.
I was kicked out of the training and I found myself having to try and figure out how I'm going to fund it. Fortunately, and I always say that I'm very privileged because my parents were able to sit down and say to me, you want to do this, so we'll make a plan to fund
Amazing.
You. It's not something that all of us have. A lot of us
definitely
are
not
seriously struggling to get the finances to be able to push their training
to
the point that when they do eventually get funding, they eventually drop out because it's a constant money.
It's a money sucking thing.
Exactly. So I was fortunate enough to have my parents be willing to pay for my training. And then once I acquired the commercial pilot's license, which was in 2016,
yeah,
I got sponsorship from a company called TETA to pay for the instructor's rating.
That's T-E-T-A.
T-E-T-A, correct. Okay. And if anyone is hoping to find sponsorship, they can get on their website, www.teta.org.za, and somehow they could help you out with your training.
That is absolutely amazing. Yeah. What I love especially is you knew from very early on what you wanted to do. Yeah. And
you didn't care about the obstacles.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you went with it, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of the time as kids, we are told what is the right route to take. And I'm sure you had that too growing up.
Definitely.
Vanessa, why don't you be a doctor? Why don't you
just go to Medusa or something.
And especially when your parents then find out, so would say, oh, sorry, one million. Not even our house is 1 million.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love that you persevered and that you were like, so what, there's obstacles. I'm going to go for this.
But you see, the another thing, that's a point that I made earlier. You just weren't here. I said dream chasers don't care about the cost.
The barriers,
indeed.
Not the cost incurred in getting their dream, but the payment, the remuneration.
Because
not even once have you spoken about, oh, no, because our new pilots get paid.
I wanted to be a pilot because that 1 million rent.
They get paid. Do you know what I mean?
And
you just you did it because this is what you wanted to do. This is your vision for your life.
Yes.
I need to be in the air. I don't understand how this damn thing flies.
Yes.
But I'm going to make it fly.
3 tons, 20 tons. I don't know how many tons. But and
I
70
need to get it there.
Tons in the air. And I just need to do it. So what's the plan? I mean, you're instructing right now. Are you looking to get into a...
No, definitely. The goal is always
to... SAA type of thing?
The goal is always to make it to an airline, but I'm currently just enjoying the whole process. So I'm doing instruction, and on the side, I've also got a little thing going on with a friend of mine called Scenic Flights. I can't call it Scenic Flights, but basically what we do is to pick people up, especially Valentine's Day. It's been booming since...
It was nice.
Romance things.
Nice.
So basically what we do is we have a website called northstaraviation.co.za.
Okay.
And
North Star.
Yes, that's correct. So people can go on there and book their scenic flight. So what we do is to pick you up from... Or rather, you come to Rand Airport and we take you on a scenic flight from Johannesburg, from Rand Airport to Sandton CBD to Soccer City. So you get a beautiful overflight over at Soccer City in a small aircraft.
In a private jet.
Who doesn't want to put that on the gram?
In a small aircraft, it is expensive. However,
it's worth it.
I feel like it's beyond worth
it. How many
it's
proposals have you seen happen,
Vanessa?
Quite
a lot.
I can imagine.
Especially this month has been crazy.
When would you just take your girl just
on a flight these things?
I'm rich, so I can do whatever I want.
Like people watch movies, like I told you. People don't just...
I take my side chick on a plane.
Because you're balling on 100,000.
On 100,000 trillion.
Is it 100,000?
No, it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Yeah, but
check
but
out
what,
the website.
What does it
So for me, how it benefits me is that I'm
you get your hours.
I'm basically accumulating my hours, and I'm exposing people to the different side of aviation, because generally people think aviation is the
SAA,
Airbus and
747.
The Boeing. Precisely. Whereas in order to start your training, you need to be in a light aircraft, which is called the general aviation side.
Yeah.
And because a lot of people don't understand this, they get there and they panic and they're like, whoa, I don't want to be inside a small aircraft. I didn't realize that this is what I have to go through to get to the Boeing.
They just thought
they're
going to start on a freaking Airbus.
Precisely. They thought they were going to start on the big guns.
You don't just drive a bus, guys.
No, negative. You don't just drive the bus. You start at the bottom. So it's also to expose people to the realities that actually you do start your training on a very light aircraft, and to expose them to a different side of things. On the lighter aircrafts, you experience turbulence as it is. You experience the noise. There's more excitement in the light aircraft.
Okay.
Obviously,
I'm scared of roller coasters.
There's more, you're closer
excitement.
To death.
Obviously, you have to be a thrill seeker like myself to enjoy those kind of things.
But it's
extremely safe. That I can guarantee you, it's very, very safe. The odds of you finding yourself in an accident in light aircrafts are very slim. So definitely, I think it's something worth trying out for anybody who's interested. Just 30-minute flight, Johannesburg, CBD, Sandton, Kyalami, Soccer City, and then back to Rand Airport.
Okay, so I think I want to do that now.
Please,
how much do I need to pay you?
We'll say check out their website.
Please check out the website. North Star Aviation.
Price on application.
I actually cannot wait until I am on an aircraft and the voice that comes onto the teleprompter is a female's.
Yes.
You know, good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, this is your pilot speaking.
This is your pilot. And not, oh, this is cabin crew, no Lutando.
Yes.
This is your pilot speaking. And then only not to just have that, but I mean, look how gorgeous Vanessa is. Do you know what I mean?
I say, God day. She walked in here and I say, God day.
You know, if you weren't in your pilot's uniform, I'm sure if you walked out of a cabin area, people would think, she's part of the crew
crew.
But no, Flip, that's absolutely
and
amazing.
You're young.
And you're very
and you're
young.
You're born 1990, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So that's very young. Guys, you can do it. The whole idea is no matter what it is you set your mind on, you can attain it.
Yes.
I mean, and I'm sure your parents, let me not speak for your parents, but did your parents have R1 million just lying around?
No, they definitely did not. They
okay,
definitely
so
did not.
Your parents don't have to have R1 million for you to be a pilot, guys. Mm. You can just do it.
Perseverance. That's the most important thing. Perseverance and have a passion for whatever it is that you
want to do.
The challenges are real.
Yeah.
Some days you wake up and you think, actually, I'm not sure I can continue with this. But if you have the passion and the drive, then it makes it easier to actually say, no, I still want to do this.
Because it's the passion that gets you through the hard times.
That's it.
Precisely.
It goes back to what you were saying, Andile, is that you're not chasing the paycheck.
Yeah.
If you're getting into something because you're like, yo, at the end of this, I'm going to have that million.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Then that's where your problem lies. Yeah. Because you don't have that as an end goal, you just keep going
going. Yeah.
Flip, Alice, I think we must have you back.
Yeah,
there's
so many more questions that
I want
answered.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, you're black. For starters.
Just to put it out there.
Why did you go in? Because on the reels, nobody says, oh, yeah, you know, you must be a pilot.
It's like you're black and you're a swimmer. Yeah? And now you're like, black and you're flying.
You know, nobody says, oh, no, listen, my daughter, Danam.
And I'm sure I was telling Andy this morning is that it's also one of those fields where what you are is not necessarily what you study. Like for instance, I studied marketing, making me a marketer, and I studied marketing.
Yes.
So you are not a piloter. Studied piloting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Oh, like but it's, I guess it's, you can go. She's an aviator.
Yeah, well, I guess when you put it that way,
aviation.
Yeah, Mara, then you become a
pilot. Not an aviator.
Not a piloter. And I mean, it just shows you how simplified other things feel.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so broad, which is why I'm saying we definitely need you back.
What's the best airline do you think to work for on the continent?
For me, still Ethiopian Airlines.
Ethiopian Airlines?
Booming. I spoke to Andile some time ago about it, and I've been saying that I want to branch out into the continent. For me, Ethiopia
must
is
I call
currently...
the CEO real quick?
Please do. Please do.
There we go.
I'll call him off
Palisa
the show.
Dream Chaser, not thinking locally.
Yeah,
she's thinking internationally.
Yeah.
Definitely
amazing.
Would love to be part of Ethiopian Airlines. Their model and the way they are, they're almost like Dubai for the African continent.
Yeah.
They've chosen to make their airport strictly for Ethiopian Airlines, which means any aircraft that comes in there has to be owned by Ethiopian Airlines, which means they're pushing their business, their own agenda to improve Ethiopia.
So
if you're flying from
South Africa into Ethiopia, you have to take Ethiopian Airlines.
You can't go SAA. No. I love that. They drop you off somewhere.
If you do take SAA, it costs you a lot more than it would to actually take Ethiopian
Because of
Airlines,
the taxes.
Because of the taxes, precisely. Okay. So they're basically trying to push out all of that as much as they possibly can by containing it as an
Ethiopian
airline.
And you can take on more carry-on luggage on Ethiopian Airlines.
Oh, that's
negative.
No, negative.
No, you can. What's the standard for SAA is 20 kilograms. Standard for Ethiopian Airlines is 40 kilograms.
Okay.
Just saying.
Just putting it out there.
In any case, this is our time, guys. We're having Palisa back on. Facts. You know, this is Andile Kunene, half man, half amazing, cool as ice and twice as nice. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And this is Nolu Tandonkosi. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a great day.
This is CliffCentral.com.